Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Dhruv Patel of Command Shift Marketing. And today we're going to be discussing Dhruv's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Dhruv.
Yeah, thanks so much, Julie, for having me.
Great. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Excited.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you, you know, as an entrepreneur and agency owner?
What motivates me? I would say, the ability to not having to work for someone else ever again, being my own boss. So I think that's the biggest motivator, that I get to live life on my own terms and not someone else's.
Of course. And so I know you have a really interesting story about how Command Shift Marketing came to be. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got started with your agency.
Yeah. I mean, my agency was never planned. Actually, how it first got started was I used to work 9-to-5. I started as a sales person right away, doing cold calling as my first job right out of university, doing business development for an events company. So sales was, always in my background. I loved sales. I was doing really well at it. Then got into recruitment sales. And during those times, I saw that, working with me were people twice my age, but doing the same thing. And that's when it hit me, was, do I need to do this all my life? Or do I want to do something else and build my own, future? Mm-hmm. So that's where that, switch hit. And I searched up online, like passive income and how to start a business. So I came across starting your own blog, right? And then doing that. So I made my first blog, and it was really silly. But while doing that, I learned how to use Divi, which is a WordPress theme, and how to basically put on a theme and then edit it. So I did that, and it was wonderful because then one of my friends saw it, and his dad is like, oh, can your friend build me a website for $500? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, I'd love to do that. And honestly, it took me about, 3 days to fully build and put all the information. And I got $500 out of it. And I'm like, wow, like, that was amazing. I loved what I did. I didn't even spend too many hours on it. But it flicked the switch that I need to start my own business. And this could be a good avenue. Because mm-hmm. I was like, every new business needs a website, right? There's a new business that's going to start, and every new business needs a website. And I found that a lot of people were staying away from it because they thought that everyone was doing websites. When I told my friends about it, they were like, but everyone does it. And I'm like, okay, well, why can't I do it, right? It's just providing a better quality. I mean, all the quality, majority of the shirts are the same. It's the branding that matters and, the story behind it, basically. So that's where I started slowly building Command Shift while working my 9-to-5 as well. When I would come back from work, I would start working on my business, advertising on local forums and whatnot, posting on Kijiji. In Canada, we have a classifieds listing here called Kijiji. So I would post on that and I would get majority of my clients from there. Now,
interesting.
I didn't know that would be a good source to post, but every single morning I would get up and my posting would be the first one there for anyone searching up websites or anything. So it was a grind, but I made sure I was consistent, and then, you know, visibility grew. And then one thing I noticed, and I used to A/B test a lot, and one thing I noticed with the ads that I put my face on and the ads that I didn't, the ones that had my face on converted like 3 times as much as the ad that didn't have my face on. And I quickly came to realize that it's because of trust, right? If they see yes. who they're working with, they're more likely to call me. And I guess that's where I realized that, you know, business is all about creating trust first and then selling whatever you have to second. And that fundamental really stayed with me till now and probably will forever, because that was a key moment in going to the next level. Because after Command Shift, once I fully figured out that, you know, this is what I want to do, I quit my job. And the next month, so I quit in January, and the next month, February, is when everything shut down here in Canada.
Yes.
Because COVID.
Right.
And I was like, I was terrified. I was like, this is the worst decision ever. You know, I had my fiance at that time as well. So I was going to get married, all those expenses and
yep.
the house and whatnot. It was like, I was shitting bricks. But that decision turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because everything turned digital. And now the pain point was really simple. Going to businesses, you know, do you have an online presence? No. Well, we can help you solve that. You know, so
yeah.
product was already there. And then it honestly skyrocketed from there. But we can get into that later on, how what I did, I guess, to build it up.
Yeah, I'm so curious. So how were you bringing in more leads and growing your agency, you know, throughout COVID? So you've just quit your job. You've got this new agency. The world's shutting down. It's such a crazy time to be, you know, starting out as a new entrepreneur. So how were you bringing in businesses as new customers, as new clients?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And honestly, what I did was keep it very simple. I saw that a lot of these agencies, every time I would talk to someone first and foremost on a sales call, I would ask for what their concerns are and why they would choose not to get the website done. And then
so
I would
write
them down.
Were you cold calling them to start that conversation? Okay.
That's correct. So, and how I did that actually was I would go on the, so I live in a city called Brampton here in Canada. So I would go on Brampton's business directory. Actually, every city has a free directory of businesses. I don't know why people don't tap into that, but you know, and all the businesses are listed there in categories. So you can, you know, divide that. What I liked is I wanted to go after service-based businesses, like more construction types, contractors, whatnot, because one thing I realized was they didn't have a lot of experience using WordPress or just online knowledge, and they had a bigger need than someone like a lawyer who is more computer savvy and, you know, can make their own website. I thought these guys really need help, and that's the niche I would start with. So I would, you know, go to the Brampton business directory and then filter out the businesses that were in the construction home improvement niche, and I would call them and cold call them. And because of my sales experience from the beginning, cold calling was a breeze. Like, you know, I would definitely book, you know, at least 5 or 6 appointments a day, and proposals and whatnot. So it was going very consistent. And what I found that at that point, I was doing all the work myself, right? I was building the website myself as well. And mind you, I still didn't know a line of coding, and I still don't. Right. But it was just through making look effective. And I also invested a lot in studying marketing overall from people like Russell Brunson from ClickFunnels, because I wanted to understand the fundamentals of converting a lead, because a lead is nothing to a business owner unless it converts. So that's where I wanted to bridge my gap and like, why do they need a website? Well, if a website's just going to stand there and not do anything, it's not going to really convert. So the and money talks, right, in business. If I can help a business owner get more revenue, what does that look like for them? So once I studied the principles of marketing and how to bring in the lead, that's when things started to fall off, because from Kijiji, I would put those pictures, I would A/B test, fill all the leads. Once I cold called them, I would put them in an automation system that I got from Go High Level. I'll get into that, but the leads were being nurtured as well. So I created like a system so that once the lead came through my funnel, like it had to be really, really, really not interested in getting a website or a digital marketing service for them to just fall off on the face of the earth and for me to not contact them, because they would be touched with different touch points, right? It would be an automated email sequence going to them. Then every month I would send like a review in an email, be like, hey, here's the video testimonial. And just to let you know, I think video testimonials is really what did it for me to convert the higher ticket clients. So in the beginning, I used to charge $500 for like a template website I'll build for them and whatnot and set it all up. And I was using Divi, so it literally took me like 5 hours to do it. It's, it's really not that hard for anyone to start. And once I did that, I would tell them, be like, hey, I would normally charge $1,000, but I can shave off $500 for you if you provide me with a video testimonial at the end of the build, if you like the website.
Yeah. Right?
So it's all on them. It's like at the end, they'll say, why not? Right? You know, and then once the website is built, I'd make sure that it's like the best looking website they want, or offer as many revisions as they want to give me that rock star video testimonial.
And then
the next client would be 10 times easier, because when I approach the next client and they're in a phase of should I buy or not, I'll throw in that a video testimonial in an email and be like, hey, here's a person who just worked with me, so you're in safe hands, and that will just convert. Like, you know,
yeah.
Some people would be like, okay, cool, this is worth $1,000 now because of the video testimonial. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And these are, once again, teachings that I wouldn't have learned if I didn't invest in coaching programs myself. It was through people and reading a lot of books as well. People like,
yeah,
you know, that got me thinking this way, be like, okay, what if I do video testimonials? Because on a sales page, if we go on a sales page, if I see a guy talking versus a bunch of just a paragraph, I'll listen, at least be engaged with the guy talking, or, you know, female talking there.
Yeah. So with the video testimonials, I agree, they're so powerful, but they can be hard to get a good quality video testimonial. So, you know, you never want to end up with, you know, your client just in a place, you know, like maybe they're in like a dark room and like their spare bedroom on a computer. So you're not going to end up with a really nice looking video at the end of it. So is this something that you assisted them with and maybe gave them some suggestions of what to say on the testimonial, or did you record it yourself? What did that process look like?
Yeah. So in regards to the video testimonial, actually, I make it as raw as possible. So we've A/B tested it. Now Command Shift has transitioned into more of a lead generation, you know, business. So we make a lot of landing pages, and we've A/B tested the testimonial videos with raw footage and the ones that are fancy. And we always found that the raw ones, people watch longer than the fancy, than the well-constructed ones. So as long as obviously the content is and the delivery is good and they're actually talking about the project, they'll look some longer. So in terms of engagement, we found that, you know, the raw testimonials were just as effective.
That's so interesting.
So I would say that if anyone is, you know, if anyone wants to increase sales, just get a raw testimonial. It doesn't matter what it is. Even if it's in black light, as long as someone sees that someone else is talking well about you, that's all they need to, you know, pull the trigger. So,
yeah, very cool. I love that. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing Command Shift Marketing?
I would say expanding in a way which is reasonable for the business as well. So not to overhire. And I'll get into that. So when I said this business started to skyrocket after COVID, I was like, okay, I need to hire a bigger team now, because how I got into actually fulfilling more websites, going back to it, was I found a Divi Coder. Basically, I posted in a group. I needed to customize a header for a website. I didn't know coding, custom coding. So I was like, I need to find someone. Mm-hmm. I go into a Divi group, which has 100,000 people. I ask for help. Five people reply to me. Everyone says I'll do it in like 4 hours. This guy says I'll do it in 30 minutes. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he charged, I think, like $20 an hour at that time. So I was like, dude, do it. And he did it mm-hmm. within like 20 minutes. And I was just like, I need him on my team. So, I was like, hey, man, how much would you charge for a website? He gave me a price and I put 100% margin on it and then sold it for them. So now I can sell websites and he can fulfill. And from there, he's my right hand, Nishant. Like, we've been working ever since. But from there, we catapulted that business because now we can take on as many websites we want. He has a team. So I have a team now in India. We have an office there as well mm-hmm. on the back end that builds all the websites. And then we have a team here in Toronto in Canada that's front facing in operations. But now on the back end, we have 11 people that we've quickly expanded. So,
wow.
But what in the middle, the challenges that I faced was that because as soon as I quickly hired 3 people right off the bat because I thought we're going to have consistent orders. But mm-hmm. at that time, to bring in leads, we were running ads, right? Facebook ads and Google ads. We were running it to a short webinar. Like a mini webinar that I had set up, and then they apply for a call, for a consultation call. We get in a 1 hour call, and then I would close them. So that was the funnel process that we're doing, and we were running ads. But then there's also something called ad fatigue, and there's also something where Facebook keeps raising the ad cost, and they hit the iOS update as well in there. So a lot of people that were running ads were affected. And we quickly needed to figure out another way to bring in. And at that point, I hired those 3 people and, for a week, they didn't even have work to do. So I felt terrible. It was like, oh, what am I going to do? Because I was complacent. I got complacent, right? I relied on the ads because they were doing amazing. But as soon as that stopped that week, that they didn't have any work to do, it was like a big realization moment. I'm like, you fired them, now you got to do something, but also make sure that you can do that in the future. So mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest hiccup, that I got overconfident in the ability of sales and overhired too quickly. And I think that's what shuts a lot of agencies down as well. The more people I talk to in this space, I see that they'll overhire and their expenses will quickly raise because they think they're doing so well. And suddenly their expenses overcome their revenue and now they're in loss. And then right. they have to fire their employees. So I think the biggest challenge for me was not growing, but it was sustaining that growth. And that was honestly the biggest hurdle and still is figuring out the right time is when to hire the next employee and then when to, not let someone go as well, but to maintain them, maybe to continue them, give them bonuses, all of that good stuff that comes with maintaining an employee. Because once you've hired them, you want to make sure they stay because now you've invested so much time and training into that employee. So,
right. Yeah, it's such a great lesson to remind our listeners about. And then, so if you could go back in time and, do things differently, what did you learn from that? What would you have done differently?
I think if I were to do something differently, I would create systems. I think the biggest thing, and that's what I'll get into this later, but that's what we do now is build automated systems for service-based businesses. So what I would do differently if I started was build a system right off the bat, like know where my lead was coming from, how they would get nurtured, and then what the next stage would be. So build out like a roadmap, right, of exactly what happens from the beginning all the way to the end. Visually see it mm-hmm. in front of me that's when I can figure out, okay, I need one employee for here, one employee for here, maybe two employees over here. I can have a helicopter overview as my business, and then I'm acting as the real CEO and not just an employee in the business, because that's what I did wrong for the majority of the time in the beginning, is I acted as an employee and not a CEO, right?
Interesting. Yeah.
And that's what I need. That's what I would change. So right from the beginning, build that system and know exactly how that machine operates. So if I need to add in any extra stuff, I know exactly what to plug in to make sure that it would give a greater output at the end.
And would you also be diversifying the channels where you're bringing the leads in as well?
Yeah, 100%. Actually, one of the best lead generation techniques that's working for us right now, and we're implementing for other businesses as well, is actual organic lead generation for web design. So web design ads and lead generation is really, really hard to crack. But you know, we have a formula which works wonders, and I'd love to share it with your audience as well, is that I have a VA that works 40 hours a week, and all she does is go on Google, look for websites or go to directories of different cities, like Yelp and whatnot, look at the top 10 listings that are investing in ads, then go on their website. And if it doesn't look good, write it down in an Excel sheet, find their owner's name and write it down in on the Excel sheet. And then keep doing this every single day till she gets about 20 to 30 entries a day. So in a week, we have about, you know, around 200 entries. And for a month, that's about 800 entries that we have of qualified leads that are spending in ads, but don't have a good website and don't have a good landing page. And that means they're probably not converting the traffic that they're paying for.
Yeah.
And so now what we do is take all of that, put it into the automated sales CRM that we have, and then it blasts out emails to them with the pain point, like, hey, you know, you're paying for ads, but you're not converting, so you're probably making $0, right? Your marketing ROI is negative, so let us fix that for you. And if they reply with a positive yes, then I have a UI designer who would actually look at their current website that they have and redesign it. So he designs it within a day. Like, he's phenomenal at what he does.
Amazing.
And we would send, and then once we're presenting to them, we'd be like, hey, this is what we made in a day. This is what we can do. Would you like us to redesign? And at that point, they're like floored. Be like, you know, you understood our pain point. You presented something to us like a mock-up without even us asking. And, you know, it's just a law of reciprocity, right? Like, if I give something to you, then you probably want to give something back to me. And we just present something that they can own. And we convert like crazy off of that. And even if you don't have, you know, even if you don't have a UI designer to do that, I would tell your audience, just blast the emails out to them or just cold call them.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have, you know, and the VA doesn't cost much. A full-time VA like that, who's doing data entry, stuff like that, you know, will cost about $400, $500 a month. But the websites you will convert is crazy. Yeah, you'll, like, you can quickly hit six figures just by doing that.
Yeah, that's a great strategy. I love that. Yeah. And it's so true, you know, leading with value and just will really, really help overcome that barrier of developing trust between your relationship with the prospect. So yeah, that sounds like a really, really cool technique that you've put in place.
Yeah. Thank you. It was good. And I'm glad it's working out so far.
Yeah, definitely. So where do you see Command Shift Marketing in 5 years' time?
Wow, that's a good question. I see Command Shift as definitely having at least 3 to 4 offices. One in India, expanding that whole sales or the development team into a bigger fulfilled team, having a whole sales team here and opening an office in downtown Toronto. So, and you know, I see Command Shift hitting at least the 10 to 20 million per year mark in revenue as well, within at least 3 to 4 years, or if not earlier. And I see at least 100 employees with Command Shift in 5 years for sure. Like, that's my goal. I want to be supporting 100 employees.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, you've grown your agency to what, over a 10 man agency in 2 years. So there's no doubt in my mind that you won't be able to accomplish that in 5 years time.
Yeah. Well, sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we are getting ready to move on to the fast five. So I'll have five rapid fire questions for you in just a moment. But before we move on, do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, just out of curiosity, sir, your audience is more up and coming entrepreneurs that are starting. What stage are they at? Just so I can give relatable advice.
So it's a little bit of a mix. So there's some established agency owners, and then there's some up and coming agency owners. It's a little bit of a mix.
Okay, yeah. I would say wherever they are in your journey. I mean, for me, I was at a point where I said that 1 week where I didn't know what kind of work I would give to myself. You know, I overhired, and I was thinking about quitting, and, you know, a lot of things were running in my mind that I shouldn't start an agency and whatnot. I'm a bad owner, but I just wanted to let you guys know that, you know, if you quit now, then you'll just end up where you first began, right?
Yeah.
And where you first began, you were really desperate to get to where you are right now. So, you know, just keep going, because moving forward is the way to go, right? And fear is temporary, but regret is forever. So you never want to be like, I could have done it. You know, always go for that prize, that first prize, and keep going, because you know, the end goal or the journey itself is so enjoyable. I think that's what turned around for me, is when I started enjoying the journey. The money didn't really matter. It was more of how fast can I hit my goals and how can I level up and keep going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really great advice. And it's true. You know, you're definitely going to have hard times that you're going to have to endure as an entrepreneur. But what do they say? You know, don't make permanent decisions over temporary emotions. So I think, you know, just powering through those hard times. And you just got to have that tenacity and that persistence and also that patience, and you'll get to where you want to be eventually.
Yeah, 100%. And one thing I wanted to mention just from an agency perspective is that the thing that changed for me is in the beginning, I was always looking for people who never had a website or never invested in ads before. But that only led me to people who were desperate for leads, who weren't doing so well. Once I figured out people who, you know, reached out to people who already had a website or already were investing in ads, who are already were the top 10 in their city, that's when things changed, because people had a bigger pocket, right? They had more budget. And reaching out to a marketing manager in a company versus reaching out to a one-man shop owner is a totally different chat, right? The marketing manager isn't going to bug you every single day. And they have a certain amount of budget, thousands of dollars already put in place to spend for services like yourself. So make sure you know who you're targeting, because the easiest way that I can guarantee you to make more money is by helping winners win more. I mean, you know, that's the simplest formula that I've figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. Such great advice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to move on to the fast five now. So I have five rapid fire questions for you.
Cool.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I would have to say Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I mean, you know, when I first started my sales job, my co-founder, who was the CEO there, he asked me to read that book, and it's stayed with me ever since. It was the starting to my journey of becoming an entrepreneur.
I love that. Such a good one. And what does your morning routine look like?
Honestly, before when I was working my 9-to-5, and I would wake up at 4 a.m. and then leave at 4 a.m. to work for those 2 hours to start my job, and then leave at 6. And I did that so much. Now I turned it totally around because after being an entrepreneur, I found that peace of mind is so important. So I actually wake up very lazily around like 8 or 9. I don't stress too much. After waking up, I'll have a cup of black coffee. I don't take sugar anymore a lot, so try to cut that down. So a cup of black coffee, I'll do my yoga routine. And then I'll do my stretching, because stretching is very important because we're sitting on the chair all day. So I'll do my stretching. And then once I'm there, I'll map out my entire day to make sure I know exactly what I need to accomplish. And then check my weekly goals, because every Sunday I write out my weekly goals, and then to make sure everything's in place, and then I'm ready to go for the day.
I love that. It's awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
So not much of a CEO. I love, Nikola Tesla. He wasn't a CEO, but he led a movement that was very different from what everyone else was doing. He was very innovative, and he was a leader. So, CEOs are leaders. So I would say a leader that I follow is Nikola Tesla.
Okay, interesting. And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool is a tool called Go High Level, which is the CRM that I use. It practically does everything for you that, 12 other marketing softwares that you're using, they're doing, and you might as well cancel all of them. So Go High Level was a dream saver. It changed my agency from, a five-figure agency to a six-figure, because we were able to add on automations and sell that as a service to business owners. So Go High Level is the tool that changed it around.
Perfect. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
One thing I wish I'd known when I began my career was it wasn't always going to be easy. I thought that becoming an entrepreneur means, managing a lot of employees, going to a fancy room with your name on it, an office, all that good stuff. But I didn't know all the small little tasks that I would have to do to keep this, keep this alive, keep this dream alive. So
yes.
That's one thing I wish I had known, that it's going to be like to enjoy the journey and not expect something so fast, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's really great advice. Just have that patience. And it's so important to just enjoy, take the challenges as they come. They might not always be easy, but just know that they'll be temporary. It's not permanent. And enjoy the journey, like you say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dhruv. It was a real pleasure to learn about your journey of starting your agency and learn more about your story. So thank you so much for joining me for today's episode.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me, Julie. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.